What a fellowship, what a joy divine, living on the everlasting earth. What a blessedness, what a peace is my living on the everlasting. Secure from all alarm, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet the world in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arm. Day to day, leaning in the everlasting God, leaning, leaning, safe from all our everlasting God. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting God, I have blessed peace with my Lord's only. Leaning on the everlasting God, leaning, leaning from all alarm, leaning, leaning on the everlasting. By when the morning comes, when all of God and God we will tell the story, for we'll understand it better by and by. We are often tossing and driven on the restless sea of time, somber skies and rolling tempest of succeed and bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when with the mist hold the wind, we will understand it better by and by. We will tell the story, how we, for we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands, one of food and one of shelter, thirsty, but in vain we are trusting the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by and by. When all the sinful, we will tell the story. for a minute, God bless the Lord did. And we wonder why that is, when we try to do our best. Peter, by and by, and by, when the newly come, when God and God alone, we will tell the story. How we'll overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. Yeah. And by when the morning comes, when all the sin. By and by, on that beautiful shore, in the sand, we shall be on that beautiful shore. There's a land that is. In the sin, by and by, we shall sing on that.
Saints, Luke chapter 19. We do greet you this evening in Jesus' name. We've come for prayer this evening, saints. So we'll just read a scripture, just take a small thought, and then we'd really like to get into prayer. Prayer is just such an important thing at times such as this.
Amen.
Luke chapter 19. It's speaking about Jesus in the house of Zacchaeus. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
My. It's very easy to forget that. You know, what does the Son of Man come for? He comes to seek and to save that which is lost. Let's also look in Luke chapter 15. We just go a couple of chapters back. Just the very beginning of the chapter. Now, Jesus in Luke 15 tells three different parables. But the first one, we know it well from verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how we just long to seek your face upon this night. How we long to bring ourselves before thee, Father, to call upon the name. How we long to draw nigh. Father, just in the sure faith of your promise, being so faithful and true unto us. Father, reading, Lord, of your heart, reading of your desire, reading, Lord Jesus, of your mission and your aim. How we just come to bring ourselves before thee, to submit ourselves upon this night as vessels in your hands. Wanted to come by the way of the blood, wanted to come unto the mercy seat, wanted to come, Father, to Lord, just fellowship with you, to pray and to seek thine face. Father, you said to pray unto the Lord of the harvest, to send laborers into the field. And Father, that's our petition upon this night, knowing, Father, we can do nothing without you, but knowing, Lord, that you do nothing without us. So, Father, we're so depending upon thee. Won't you lead us in this small thought and help us upon this night, Father, committing all your people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, saints. Jesus is showing us the key attribute of who he really is. And if I had to just give it a title just for a few minutes, we'd like to speak on the seeking shepherd. You know, I know the believers sing the song about the seeking shepherd found me. You know, once I was lost, you know that one, the great emancipator, but it speaks about the seeking shepherd. And you can see that was the mission and that was the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came for one thing. Before he came to redeem us, before he came to shed his blood, he had a mission that he had to fulfill. And he continues that mission. And his mission is to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
And he gives us in these parables a real, real powerful understanding of how the Lord really looks at these kind of things. Because in Luke 15, he takes three parables. The first one he looks at is the missing sheep, the one sheep, leaving 99 who are doing well. He went, the shepherd, in difficult territory, difficult places, whatever that it was, whatever that it would take, wherever he had to go. But he was determined. He had one mission, which was to find that one sheep that had gone astray. So you can see straight away from that Jesus is the seeking shepherd. He didn't wait for that sheep to come to him. He went to seek that sheep. And when he went, he was sacrificial. He was perseverant. But he made sure when he went forth, he had a mission. He had one thing inside of his heart, and that was to find that sheep.
Amen.
Then the second parable he tells us, all speaking of the same thing, knowing that scriptures have compound meaning, he speaks about the woman who lost her coin.
And we know we speak about that according to the virtues you can lose. But in the context of what he's saying, he's speaking about the value. Amen. The real value of something which he loses. If this woman could lose one coin and then would, you know, not rest night or day, but would light the candle and would hunt and search for that one coin until she lost it. And then when she lost it, she rejoiced so much and called all her friends and says, come and rejoice with me because I found that which was lost.
Amen.
And then the third parable in the same chapter is the prodigal son, which once again shows the father's love for that which is lost.
Amen.
You know, and how he couldn't rest, you know, waiting for his son to come back to him. So this whole chapter, Jesus is trying to reveal something as a correction and a rebuke to the Pharisees, because Jesus was going right down among the sinners and the tax collectors. He wasn't worrying about what people thought about him. No, he knew, I have a mission. My mission is to finish my Father's work, to seek and to save that which is lost. And Jesus knew that the sheep can be anywhere. There's some sheep in Samaria, I have needs to go via Samaria. He might have a sheep in Jericho, there's Zacchaeus is in Jericho. So wherever he went, there was a purpose in the place that he went, because he was seeking to save that which was lost.
Amen.
That was the mission and the purpose that he had. He didn't just go around aimlessly. But it doesn't matter where he had to. If he had to go amongst the tombs, there was someone that was lost. One of the father sheep that needed to be saved. And he was willing to get in the boat. He was willing to go among the tombs.
Amen.
He was willing for the people of the country to misunderstand his mission, to say all manner of evil against him. To Jesus, he didn't mind. He didn't mind what price had to be paid. He didn't matter what sacrifice had to be made. He didn't matter the length and extremes he had to go to. The most important thing to him was the sheep have to be found.
Amen.
And the shepherd couldn't rest. And that's what he's showing us in that first parable, is that the shepherd, although he had 100 sheep, when the one sheep went astray, he couldn't rest.
Amen.
He couldn't rest. You know, Jesus is really showing us his heart. And sometimes when you read those things, you know, it really, really speaks to you deep down inside of your soul. And you say, Lord, you know, how much we can get busy in so many other things. We can get busy in the affairs of this life, and not sinful things, but we can get so busy in our commitments, so busy in our occupations, so busy in so many other things, that if we're not careful, we can lose the most important of burdens and desires, which is the very purpose that the Son of Man came for.
Amen.
Which is to seek and save that which is lost.
Amen.
You know, and that's one thing which I really thought, that's why even just for tomorrow, to go and just let people know who we are. Now just to go and speak in the simplicity of things to people, we may think it is a small thing, but in the eyes of God, it's such an important thing.
Wow.
Because the most important thing to the Lord is his sheep. There's nothing more important to him. He shed his blood for his sheep. He came from glory. He came and he dwelt in a body of clay. He came and walked amongst us. What for? For the purpose of his sheep. He was willing to lay aside his comfort. He was willing to lay aside, make himself of no reputation. He was willing to take our burden upon himself. Why? Because of his love for his sheep. You know, and I really do believe that's why it's so important for us to come in prayer. Because, you know, without getting yourself in the spirit of what you're trying to do, to have a real, real burden and understanding of what it is. No matter how simple it may seem to speak to people about the Lord, to try to reach those sheep. But it's such an important thing. No, because like we've said before, and the prophet says it so many times, you know, this great move that God is involved in now, it's not going to finish until he finds his last sheep. No, no one's going home until he finds the lost sheep. That is how important that last sheep is to him. He will leave the 99.
Amen.
And he'll go just to seek that one. And he'll never be satisfied. He'll never take the rest of the sheep home. He'll never take the rest of the sheep and be at rest himself as long as he knows there's one sheep there. Just that one sheep is such an important thing to him. You know, if you think right back in the beginning, you know, where God, he calls himself Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. No, he's the great shepherd. That's what he is. And he has his sheep. But when he made man, he made sheep and he knew these sheep can stray because he knows exactly the nature of sheep. And Adam and Eve, his first sheep, they went astray. And when they went astray, he was the seeking shepherd. He came down right from Eden himself. He took the burden and the responsibility upon himself.
Amen.
He never sent an angel. He never sent anybody else. But he himself came down into the garden. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to call. He came to seek. He would never have gone back to his rest in glory until he found them. Because his sheep were lost. His sheep needed to be saved. He needed to bring them under the blood. He needed to clothe them in the divine clothing of redemption in the sheepskins. And then he could rest once again because he had found that which was lost. And friends, I really can see it right the way through the Bible from the beginning to the end and all through the church ages to today. This is the real burden of redemption. This is if you and I would this evening would enter into that spiritual realm, that's where the burden of the Lord is. To seek and to find that which is lost. But you can see the way it was with Jesus speaking this parable. Because Jesus wouldn't be like the Pharisees and the scribes and, you know, just go to the synagogue and just spend time in the synagogue and keep all the laws and all the traditions and so forth. But Jesus knew that, no, I've got to go out there and find that which is lost. Amen. And many times he would just go to a place just for one person. You think of the Lord speaking to Philip to tell him to leave the great revival just for one sheep. One sheep was crying out, and the whole thing with Philip had been involved, and he went a great distance. He went, you know, out in the hot desert, standing by the road that leads to Gaza, just for one sheep. Amen. The Lord led him there just for one sheep. And friends, we could spend the whole night tonight praying. We could spend all day tomorrow going out there, and there might just be this just one person there. Amen. But in God's mind, that's the most important thing, to leave 99. To go out just to find the one. I was listening when the prophet went to Milltown that time. You know, if you listen, in the 1940s when he went to Milltown, it was because he was praying. He got up in the night and he had a burden. And he just got up and he started walking and praying in the room. He was staying with his mother at that time. And then the pillar of fire came and he went into a vision. And in the vision, he heard a sheep bleating. Amen. The bleating of a sheep. And the prophet was like going through this wilderness trying to find this bleating sheep. And he was looking behind all the trees and looking behind everything, trying to find this one sheep that was bleating in the vision. And then as he got closer and closer to the sound that he heard, the bleating started to change and it started to say, Milltown, Milltown. And the prophet came out of the vision. But he didn't even know where Milltown was. So he went to church the next day and he asked him. Brother George Wright was there and told him, I know where Milltown is. It's not maybe 30 minutes from where I live. And the prophet says, I'm going to go there on Saturday. And the prophet went to that place. God led the prophet there because there was one sheep that was bleating. And the prophet left the 99 and went to a place. He didn't even know where he was going. Didn't even know who he was looking for. But he just knew there was a burden that had been put upon him. And then a vision came. And you know it from the message. It was Georgie Carter. And she had been almost 9 years with TB in bed and she couldn't even get out of bed anymore. And the prophet went up to the place and he went with George Wright. George Wright says, well, I'll go up there. I've got to go and sell some eggs to a man up there in Milltown. They got there and the prophet, he didn't know where to go. So he went and bought himself a soapbox, put the box outside in the main street, got in and started to preach. But he said he wasn't having much success in his preaching. And then Brother George Wright said, I need to go and deliver my eggs up the way. And the prophet got in the car that drove past a church. And then the prophet felt led to say, Brother George, let me get out here. Something's pulling me towards the church. And he went and the church was locked. And the prophet sat on the steps and prayed and said, Lord, if you want me to do something here, please let someone come and allow me to open this door. And as he did that, a man came walking through the gate. And the prophet asked about the church. The man said, what are you looking for? He says, you know, who owns this church? And they said, no, the Baptist pastor that used to be had got in trouble and they like ran him out of town and the people went to all the other churches. And since then it belongs to the city. The city runs the church just for funerals and weddings. And the prophet says, you know, I'd like to have a revival. Could I look inside? And the man says, well, I've got a key and opened it up. And the prophet went there now to start the great revival. And the first night, the only people that was there was George Wright, his wife, and his two children. And there were four people. But the prophet knew you've got to persevere. Amen. In the issue of trying to find the sheep, in the issue of trying to find that which is lost, you've got to persevere. So the prophet, the first night, he preaches just as normal. Next night comes back again, there's only four people in the church. It's George Wright and his family. Just as the service is about to start, they see another man coming to the door. George Wright goes to the back. It's William Hall, Bill Hall. The most notorious sinner in the city just about, and he comes with his corncob pipe, knocks his pipe out on the side of the church. All his tobacco falls on the steps of the church. And then George Wright, who's put an advert in the paper for the revival, saying, come and see the young Billy Sunday, you know, speaking about the prophet. And then Will Hall comes inside. They say, come and sit in the front. He says, no, you know, you take care of business in the front. Me, I'll take care of business in the back. And the prophet starts to preach now. And as he starts to preach, Bill Hall ends up at the altar.
Amen.
And he's weeping and he's seeking the Lord and he owns a quarry. And the next night he comes back. He brings about 12 of his relatives, people from his work, Bill Hall. And the prophet starts to preach and the revival starts. But he still hasn't found the sheep that he sent for. And then finally Bill Hall comes to him and says, Brother Branham, I heard of, you know, about the vision that you had. I know a young girl up on the hill. She received your book, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And she's been believing that the Lord is going to heal her from tuberculosis. She can't even get out of her bed. Her name's Georgie Carter. And the prophet says, let's go and pray for her straight away. He said, it's not going to be that easy because her parents don't believe. They don't believe in divine healing. They'll never allow you to come and pray. So the prophet says, let's pray. And they started to pray. And then the parents allowed him to go and speak to her. And he's told her, he said, look, sister, she said, look, can't you heal me like you healed the nail girl that was healed in your testimony? The prophet says, until the Lord shows me something, I can't do anything. But the prophet knew this was the sheep. So the prophet says, okay, well, I'll pray for you. He says, I'll be back in 2 weeks' time to have another revival. We'll see what happens by then. And the prophet came back and had the revival, and so many people came. And they went out to baptize them in Tottenham Ford. And the prophet baptized so many people that he was so cold he couldn't get out of the water. And the deacons then had to come and help him out the water. And they took him to George Wright's house to go and try to warm up and have a little bit of food before the evening service. And the prophet says, no, there's a burden on my heart. And I'm going to go and pray before the dinner. And then George Wright says, but I'll ring the dinner bell. And when we ring the dinner bell, you need to quickly come and eat the dinner because we need to get for the service this evening. And the prophet went out there into the woods by the dogwood tree. And he went and he knelt down and he says all the mosquitoes were coming and disturbing him. And he tried to go around the other side of the hill and it was too much of an angle. He wasn't comfortable. Finally, in the end, he said, I just want to seek the Lord. It doesn't matter about the mosquitoes. It doesn't matter about the conditions. And he said, and I lost myself in prayer. He says, and when I really got deep in prayer, I didn't even hear they were ringing the bell for dinner. He says, and then that light came down into the dogwood bush and said, go by the way of Carter's. Because the Lord is going to raise her up. And the prophet came out of the woods and they went and the Lord raised Georgie Carter up out of the bed, out of all those years. But that was the one sheep. That entire revival, maybe all of that effort, all of that preaching, everything that was done, in God's eyes, there was one sheep there. Friends, it's an amazing thing to think about. But that's how important God's sheep are to Him. And friends, for us to be here, for us to still be here, for the Lord to allow us to be in this area, for the Lord to put you where you are, to put us where we are. We may not know the mystery of His will, but you know, one thing's for sure, He still has His sheep. That may just be one, it may just be two. It may be like Philip when he spoke to the Ethiopian. That Ethiopian went back and took the gospel now to Ethiopia, the prophet says. You know, so it can be a chain reaction from there that you just go, you let off the Lord to speak to one of His sheep. And then from there, something great starts off. It can be like that, friends. But it's got to start somewhere because He's the seeking shepherd. He is the one who's come and His desire is to seek and to save that which is lost. And in each of these parables, He gives us examples. And the one that He gives us, which has a warning as well, concerning the prodigal son, because He's speaking about the atmosphere in heaven concerning salvation. When He speaks about the angels, He said it on each of the parables, He says, the angels in heaven rejoice at one soul when it's saved. But you find He is going amongst the tax collectors, the sinners. The Pharisees aren't rejoicing. They're complaining. They're murmuring. They're not in the spirit of redemption. Jesus was in the spirit of redemption. He was willing to go wherever He had to go to speak, no matter if it was a harlot, doesn't matter if it was tax collectors, it was the most, no, the lowest of the low in society. But he didn't worry about that. He didn't worry about his reputation. He didn't matter about what people thought about him. The only thing that he was trying to do was to find that sheep. To find that soul that had been appointed, that had been predestined unto salvation, unto eternal life. But those Pharisees and the publicans, they were so caught up in religion that they'd lost the essence of religion. The essence of what religion really is. You know, somebody said something once and I liked it. They said, the difference between Christianity and all other religions, in every religion, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, all of them, it's man seeking God. But in Christianity, it's God seeking man. That's the difference between Christianity and the rest. Because you never sought God, God sought you. No, God left the 99 at some stage. Maybe you were drunkard. Maybe you were a harlot. Maybe you were so self-righteous in your religion, whatever it was. But God left the 99. And he came and he found you where you were. And God left the 99 and he came and he found me where I was. And it's a powerful thing. And he couldn't be satisfied until he found you. And then he shows the shepherd in that parable. He says, look at the shepherd. He says, when the shepherd finds the sheep, he puts it on his shoulder. Amen. And the prophet says, that's the most powerful part of a man. Amen. Our friends, when he came and he found us, he made sure that he gave us a power in our experience that's going to keep us all the way to the end. Amen. No, he didn't just come and find us and then leave us where we were. He put us on his shoulders. And he is with us and he's taken us in his power, in his grace, all the way to the end of this journey. And that's what he wants to do to each and every one of his sheep. But friends, those Pharisees and those publicans in the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus shows who they were. They were like the older brother. That when this brother comes back, having squandered all of his father's inheritance with harlots and drunkenness and so forth, that he's wasted it all. When he comes back and his father's in the spirit of redemption, he sees his son coming home and he says, kill the fatted calf. Let's feast, let's rejoice. Because this my son was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost and he's not, and now he's been found. And then there was rejoicing amongst all of the servants. And it's the same as Jesus is saying, there's rejoicing amongst the angels in heaven. Those are God's servants. God was rejoicing, the angels were rejoicing because the sinners and the tax collectors were coming to salvation. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees weren't in the same spirit. And the same as that older brother of the prodigal son, when he came and he heard the feasting and the rejoicing and all that was taking place, he refused to go in. He says, how can I rejoice when this young man who squandered everything in righteous living, I've tried to live righteous all my life. My father never killed even a calf for me. But now when this boy comes back, having been so involved in his sin and his iniquity, they killed a fatted calf and have a feast for him. Now friends, you've got to be careful as believers. We don't lose the essence of what pleases the Lord. Remember when Banks Wood said that we ought to go and tell that lady in the church of God that we got saved. That so pleased the Lord. The prophet says that there are certain things that you say and it catches with the Lord. And then the anointing came down. There's something about salvation. There's something about redemption. When Sister Hattie, like we said the other day, when her desire was the salvation of her two boys, when that was her aim and her objective, and when that was the heaviest thing that was upon her heart, God made sure there was a ministration of something down that channel to bring forth her heart's desire. That's what really pleases the Lord, friends. But that boy, his father had to come out and say that to him. To say, son, all that I have is yours. Yeah, everything that I have is yours. You've always been with me. But it's right for us to rejoice. Because this your brother, he was dead. But now he's alive. He was lost, but he's found. And that's why Jesus says, and likewise is there joy amongst the angels of God over one sinner that repents more than over 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. And that's why the shepherd will leave the 99 to go and search in the highways and the byways and do whatever needs to be done Uncle Lee finds that sheep which is bleating. And saints, if we could come tonight and pray, because we are his hands and we are his feet. We are the instrumentality that he wants to use. But outside of his leadership, outside of his unction, outside of his quickening power, outside of him going before us in what we do, it's just in vain all the things that we're going to do. But if we can be like Eliezer and we can commit ourselves to prayer this evening, knowing that the commission is great, how shall I know the one that he has chosen? The Lord has chosen to be the bride for my master's son. He shall send his angel before you. Because he is the seeking shepherd. He is the one who goes and stirs up hearts. He is the one who goes and prepares people unto salvation. And all Eliezer had to do was be prayerful and then follow that leadership. And he says, and I being in the way, the Lord has led me to the house of my master's relatives. Friends, that's all that we can do. But I think we just really need to be careful that we never lose the essence of it. And that's an easy thing to do. That very thing that causes heaven to rejoice. That very thing that causes the angels to rejoice. Imagine angels rejoicing. That's a powerful thought. When they see just one soul coming to life. One soul coming to repentance. It's a powerful thing. God can make a great move. God can do bring a whole lot of people to a certain place in a certain season of time, just for one soul. Amen. And in God's eyes and in the eyes of those people that are involved, who are in tune with heavenly places, it was all worth it. Amen. It was all worth it. Because the Son of Man has come for that particular purpose. He's the seeking shepherd. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He had to go via Samaria to the woman at the well. When the rest of the people had dismissed her, but she was one of his sheep. Amen. She had a soul that was recorded in the book of life. Amen. In the Lamb's portion of the book of life. And Jesus had needs to go by there. Amen. It was other people would have looked and said, but you're so busy, so many other things that you can be doing. Why do you want to go through here? He had needs to go through Samaria. Ah, friends, when Paul saw the vision, come on over to Macedonia. There were sheep in Macedonia. The prophet says he wanted to preach in that place that he was, but there were none of God's sheep there. So the Lord had to call him and say, come on over to Macedonia, because God had his sheep there. Ah, friends, let's pray tonight as we come to pray, just that the Lord may lead us to his bleating sheep. Amen. To his bleating sheep. And like I say, the shepherd, he needs perseverance in order to find the bleating sheep. Amen. He needs to be willing to pay whatever is the price. Amen. Sometimes to get outside and speak to people. Friends, sometimes people aren't going to say kind things to you. Amen. I sent some of the brothers one clip of a man preaching on the street. And yay. You know, sometimes people preaching on the street, especially if somebody preaches the truth, it can be quite a hazardous business. You know, because it stirs up the devil. He doesn't like those kind of things. Ah, friends, but he'll send his angel before. And it gives him an opportunity to manifest himself. It gives him an opportunity to show who he really is. No, when things really come to the test. So we wanted to come this evening, friends, straight away in prayer. And he wanted to pray. He said, Lord, clothe us in the same spirit that you have, the seeking shepherd. That, Father, we may not be satisfied, that we not may not be at rest in this world, as long as there's still your sheep that need to be saved. As long as there's still your sheep. Because like I said, that shepherd, when he knows he's got that one sheep out there somewhere, he's never going to go to his house. He's never going to sit comfortable at his table. He's never going to be able to go and lie in his bed and be comfortable at night, knowing there's one sheep out there, though he's got 99 there. And that's where I see that Jesus was the most amazing man. You know, with all the opposition, with all the things, but he never lost focus on that one thing. Many times we do. Many times we get so involved just with the 99. And we forget about the one. And friends, that's why we need these kind of seasons once again by the grace of God. That the Lord clothes us once again in the spirit of the seeking shepherd. That he puts a burden in our souls and a desire to go out to do his business. To be about the Father's business. But you can't do it yourself. You can't. We need him. Amen. We need him to lead us. We need Him to overshadow us. We need Him to give us wisdom. We need Him to bless the seed that He has sown. We so need to be sensitive to Him. And the only way we can do that is in prayer. The only way is so we can pray like Eliezer, to say, Lord, show us the way. Send your angel before. Grant us wisdom. Grant us grace. And then we go out and we persevere like the prophet did in Multan. We persevere as the disciples did that time. They were preaching, got whipped. Paul and Silas went into prison. And then they found there was the sheep right in the prison. There was the Philippian jailer. Amen. And that night he was baptized, him and his house, rejoicing in the things of the Lord. Friends, there's a price to be paid in it. Amen. But friends, it's the most blessed of prices. Because if heaven rejoices because one soul is saved, what a rejoicing you have inside of your heart as well. Whenever you lead one person to the Lord, it's the most blessed experience that you can have. It does give you such a blessing. But friends, we all know it. It's a very, very spiritual work. It's a simple work, but it's a spiritual work. So we really want to come to prayer straight away this evening. Let's come and seek His face. Let's come and seek that He may go before. Let's come and seek that He may bless. Because like the brother Will was praying, that unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build. Unless He helps to quicken the seed, it'll never ever come to anything. But the prophet says, when you about the great commission, you know you in the perfect will of God.
Amen.
It's His perfect will, because that's the last standing orders that He left for His church. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
And that's when He manifests Himself, and that's when He shows His arm strong, is in the line of the great commission. So let's come to a time of prayer. We'll ask Brother Vlad just to come start us one song, please, bro. Let's sing one song and let's really put this before the Lord this evening. We'd like to take a couple of portions of prayer. Let's have one time of prayer now to really seek His wisdom, seek His leadership, seek His blessing. Then we'll just read a scripture again, put a few prayer requests for tomorrow before us, and we'll pray again. But let's come before the Lord. It's fine, bud.
Sowing in the morning.
Bringing in the sheaves, that's what it's called.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontime and the dewy. Waiting for the harvest and the time for reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master.
Though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves.
our weeping's over. He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep.
We shall
come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep.
We shall
come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing.
Let's come to pray, saints. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. It's a noble thing. Let's lay aside our own problems this evening. Let's lay aside our own ambitions and our own thoughts. And let's seek to get ourselves in tune with His desire, with His leadership, with His burden at this time. Maybe there's a soul just down the way here that's crying out for something, that's seeking for truth. Oh, friends, let's seek His face upon this day that He may lead us and guide us. Father, we're coming unto Thee upon this evening to thank You, Father, that You've given unto us mercy to bring ourselves before Thee. To thank You, Father, for an opportunity to come in the midst of Your people, to come in Your house, Father, upon this evening, to wait upon Thee, Lord, to rule, continue, to bring ourselves. Father, what a blessing that it is, Lord, Jesus, to bring this joy to the people that is to be. What a blessing that it is, Lord Jesus, to wait upon Thee, to rule, continue, and Father, to call upon Thee, even upon this evening, Lord. Just be glorified, Lord Jesus, is our desire. Help us, Lord Jesus, is our petition for our prayer. As we do give it to Thee, Father, to wait upon Thee, and continue to call upon Thee, even to the Lord. Just pray, Lord Jesus, for Your blessing, and all that You bless, and all that You do, Father, that You will.
Lord, let it be
a little prayer.
This is what we do.
Help us. Father, we're just waiting upon You, Lord. Father, wanting to pray. And look unto me for every house that's in this neighborhood, Lord. Heavenly Father, for every little piece of paper that we put, Lord, we ask for Your blessing. We ask for Your grace. We ask for Your unction. Father, we pray for Your leadership in these things, Lord. Father, You said, Lord Jesus, that Your messages would fall into the hands of the prayers, Lord. Father, we just look into Thee and just pray that You would lead and pray that You would guide, Lord. Break every fetter, Lord. Break every bond of the enemy, Lord. Bring to naught all His thoughts and His purposes, Lord. Father, just be glorified. Father, all of these things we pray. We're coming unto Thee to look unto Thee. We're coming unto Thee to wait upon Thee, Lord, to dedicate ourselves unto Thee. We're coming, Father, to consecrate ourselves unto Thee, Father, knowing that unless You go before, Father, it's in vain. Oh, Jesus, we pray. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints, let's open Matthew chapter 9 as well. Just remember what Jesus said. Right at the beginning of the chapter, In fact, sorry, Matthew chapter 10, I'd written it down wrong there. Verse 16, it says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." You may be seated, saints. Just, let's just take another short thought here, just about this principle about witnessing and so forth. I remember hearing somebody speaking about the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ in His witnessing, when He came to them on the way to Emmaus. And I really thought there were some quite good principles there. Now when Jesus drew near to those two men that were walking on the way to Emmaus, Jesus had a mission and a purpose. But he was very wise in the way that he did his things. You know, there were certain things you can really learn about how Jesus, even with the woman at the well, when Jesus saw them, the first thing that it says that he did is that he drew near. Now, he drew near to them and he started to listen to what they were speaking about. Now, Jesus, when he got to them, he didn't quickly tell them the solution to their problem and try to, you know, put his thoughts to them. But the first thing that he did, he started to walk together with them. You know, he started to get their confidence, and then he started to ask them questions. He says, "No, what are these things that you're reasoning about and that's made you sad?" And he let them start doing the talking. And then they started to say, "But we thought that this man, haven't you heard of this Jesus? We thought he was the one that should come," and so forth. And then as Jesus continued to speak to them, then came the opening that he was waiting for. Amen. And then he came, starting at Moses and bringing it through the scriptures. He started to minister now to the needs of those people. You know, and when Jesus said it to the disciples, he said, "Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men." You know, like I've said so many times, when you go fishing, that's one thing when you alone. Fishing needs patience.
Amen.
It really needs patience. Fishing, you need to understand the conditions at that time. What might have you worked last week when you were fishing in that place, it doesn't work this week. Because maybe the weather's different, the conditions are different. The certain type of bait that you use then, that doesn't work now. And you've got to discern now, what sort of bait am I going to use to catch the fish today? You know, there's a real art in fishing. And sometimes a person has to conceal themselves so the fish don't really see who you are. Now you're using a certain type of a lure, a certain type of a weight, whatever it is. But Jesus says, "I will teach you to become fishers of men." You know, and Jesus himself, he was the master fisherman.
Amen.
He was the master evangelist. He knew how to do it. But the prophet would always say the one thing that Jesus would do, he would always contact somebody's spirit.
Amen.
Before he would know what to say, before he would know the avenue to approach a person, he'd allow that person to speak. And that's a real, real good piece of advice.
Amen.
In witnessing as well. Another thing which, when we went to with Brother Wilma and Brother Virgus and them to the motorbike races up there in the north, and we went witnessing there on the streets, we learned it from the one guy who was arranging it. And he said something that always helped me on witnessing to people. He said, "Look, when you're witnessing to people," he says, they've done research and they found that on average it's maybe the sixth time that someone hears the gospel that a person receives Christ. And he says, you may be the person, if you start speaking to somebody, you may be the person who's starting the work. You may be the person, like Paul says, "No, I have planted, whoever watered, but it's God who gives the increase." No, in order to come to the harvest, sometimes it takes several people to minister into the experience of one person.
Amen.
So if you speak to somebody and you really feel, "Hey, but the Lord was there in that which was being said," and that person doesn't come to the place that you think at that time, it's nothing to be discouraged about.
Amen.
Because he says that as the rain comes down from heaven, that seed will never return to him.
Amen.
Without achieving the purpose to which it was sent. So if there's his anointing, if the Holy Ghost is there, and something is said that is truth, that seed, it may take time to germinate. But at some stage, maybe the Lord can quicken that seed for his glory. The Holy Ghost can then bring it to your remembrance.
Amen.
And that guy told us this, and then you may have the great privilege to be the one who finishes the work. You know, that God's already been working on the heart of somebody and people have been, you know, getting the work progressed along to a certain stage until by the grace of God, the Lord leads you to speak to somebody and you are the very one that God leads to bring that person right to a breakthrough and that person accepts Christ. It's a blessed thing.
Amen.
But friends, just to be about his business is a wonderful thing. And the other thing which the prophet speaks about, if you listen to those messages, he preached two of them. What is in thine hand? No, the prophet says, use whatever you've got in your hand.
Amen.
Whatever you've got in your armory that God has given you. There's different things that a person can use in fishing. And one of the most powerful things is your personal testimony.
Amen.
Your personal testimony. I was listening to a brother speaking about it the other day, and he said, the problem with testimony is, people get to the stage that they think, but unless you are a gangster and a drug addict and a murderer, and you're in jail for, you know, for 6 years, and then you come out and you tell your testimony, people say, but hey, I don't have a powerful testimony. Then he said that, he says, generally speaking, a simple testimony, people can relate to it.
Amen.
When you tell your super experience about, you know, that you were one of the worst people in the world and so forth, not many people can relate to that.
Amen.
But when you speak about what the Lord has done for you,
amen,
that's one of the most powerful things, because you were there.
Amen.
You are a witness of that. And God will always bless that. And that's,
amen,
how whenever Paul was brought into a situation and he was brought to the test, he would speak about, I was on the way to Damascus.
Amen.
And there came a light and I met that light. And the voice spoke to me and said, I am Jesus who you persecute. No, go to the Gentiles and so forth. That was his absolute. And the prophet says, if you have nothing else to say, tell how your candle got lit.
Amen.
Tell how he started the work inside of your own life. Because that is an authentic work of God.
Amen.
That is something real which no one else can take away from you. But friends, it's your own testimony is a powerful thing. The prophet says, David at that time when Goliath came, he might have thought, I'm not ready for this. And Saul said the same thing, you're not ready, you need to put on all my armor and so forth. And the prophet says, no, no, David realized after a while, let me use that which I've proved.
Amen.
No two people are the same. No two people approach things the same way. That one thing that I sent to Brother Will about the man preaching in the street, my word, that man, like Brother Will said, was brave. That man could preach about, go right in the university campus and preach about the sins of the university. And he would get right into the face of people and tell them, you know, he's preaching about masturbation, preaching about pornography and all those kind of things. Not everyone's made like that. But God can use you the way that you are. Whatever you've got. The prophet says that, he says, put it into his hands. Just put it into his hands. We've said it many times before, but I listened to that message again this week. He says, that little boy's lunch, it wasn't much when it was in his hands. But when he put it into the hands of Jesus,
amen,
Jesus took something which was natural and turned it into something supernatural. And he fed the multitude. And a great testimony came from that. He says, that little piece of leather was nothing when it was just in David's hand. But when he put it into the hands of the Lord, when he took his own little experience, it wasn't little, it was powerful, but he took his own little instrument that he had proved himself, and he put it into the hands of the Lord for his glory. It worked a great testimony in the camp of Israel. And you just take what God has made you. You just take what God has ministered to you and put it into his hands and yield it to him. And it's surprising what he can do with it. The prophet with that infidel, it was such an unusual way to speak to a man about an apple tree. You see, when the man was a big scientist and wanted to argue all these kind of things, and the prophet brought it back to the simplicity of where does the life go in a tree in wintertime? What intelligence guides that life down? To go down in the roots and wait there until springtime. And then what intelligence brings it up once again? You know, you can dissect things, you can search things, but the prophet had a serious principle there. And that man, being an atheist and an infidel, God led the prophet to go right around that way. Then he says the same intelligence that speaks to that life in the tree is the same intelligence that spoke to me and told me about that woman when I was at the Camden, wherever the place was at the campground. That was a powerful thing. Now, you and I will try to use the same thing. It's not going to work. Now, you and I will try to use somebody else's approach, somebody else's testimony. But each and every one of us, we've got something that we can put into his hands.
Amen.
And as long as you put yourself into his hands, our friends, it's wonderful what the Lord can do.
Amen.
It can be so surprising, because Jesus says, take no thought about what you will say, because it shall be given unto you in that hour, because you're about the master's business. And one thing never be afraid to is to stand up to the challenge of somebody. I remember when Brother Rock and I were up in the Northwest there, and this one girl, she was speaking so much against her disappointments with God, her disappointments with Christianity. Then we found out, where's the problem? It was because she had a crippled daughter at home. And we said it to her. We said, has anybody ever come to pray for your crippled daughter? She says, no. We said, let's go and pray for your daughter. And we said it with Brother Rock. And we said, because she isn't giving God a fair chance.
Amen.
And Rock and I were talking to say, If she's blaming God because God's been cruel to her to give a crippled daughter, she's never given God an opportunity.
Amen.
Never, ever be intimidated by the devil.
Amen.
Never, because God can fight his own battles, friends.
Amen.
God can fight his own battles. We were speaking about it just this week on the One Forum, about when the light came down in the Sam Houston Coliseum. That day, 1950. It was just when people were speaking against divine healing and all those kind of things. Then the prophet saw the light coming in. And he says, he's here now. He'll testify for himself. And he did. And he testified for himself. And God is more than willing and more than able to do that. And you and I just being in the way, in whatever simplicity that it is, just even to take something like a little leaflet. The prophet says, if that's all that you can do, he says, commit that into his hands.
Amen.
Take something that just advertises who we are and what we believe. And even just to stick it through the post box. The prophet speaks of that man when the tract was in his pocket. And he read it months and months later. And when he read it, it says something like, where will you spend eternity? Or whatever it was. And the man couldn't get away from that.
Amen.
And God took just the simple instrumentality of someone who had given him a tract and he put it in his pocket and he forgot it. But in due season, God used that.
Amen.
To start a process that brought that man right to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Whatever that it is, if it's committed into the hands of the Lord, no matter how simple it may seem to be, God can use it for his glory.
Amen.
God can use it. And we need to pray for each and every house in this area.
Amen.
We need to pray. When we pray once again, we need to pray and ask the Lord to go
Amen.
Before. Because Eliezer knew if the Lord doesn't go before, this is a mission in vain.
Amen.
But if the Lord can go before and start stirring up the hearts of people and working in the lives of people, he will send his angel before. Because he is the seeking shepherd. We're not the seeking shepherd. He is the seeking shepherd. He is the one who's seeking that which is lost. So he goes to prepare the hearts of people.
Amen.
You think of how the Lord came to you. You think of how he prepared your heart so that when you met the truth, your heart had already been prepared. That might have taken different people, different situations, different events. But God had been there before whoever it was who testified to you. God had been preparing the way. And when that person came just at that time, the ground was fertile. God had already done the job. God had already gone before. And that person just entered into the harvest field and just brought forth the harvest that day and came back with their sheaves, came again rejoicing. But on that principle of what is in your hand, the prophet says, all you need to do is yield yourself to God. Yield whatever you have to God. If you're good at singing, yield your voice. You know, that can be used for the glory of God. If you've got a testimony, yield that to the Lord. If you're good at doing whatever it is that the Lord's called you to do, just yield that to the Lord.
Amen.
And whatever you yield to the Lord, if the Lord has a purpose, the Lord is going to use that purpose. And sometimes it can come out in the strangest and most unusual of ways.
Amen.
Like we say with Paul and Silas, preaching on the street. Yeah, thinking they're doing well and casting the demon out of that girl. And then there comes a big fuss, yeah? And they get beaten and put in prison, not knowing that was God's provided way.
Amen.
And then they yielded themselves in the prison. They were worshiping the Lord at midnight, and God came and shook that place. And that was the final thing that Philippian jailer needed. He just saw that, ha-ha, this is the end. And there was Paul and Silas in the right place at the right time. And then he received with rejoicing, took them to his house. His whole family received the Lord that night.
Amen.
It's a powerful thing. It may just be as simple as when Paul went to Philippi for the first time. And there was no synagogue, not enough Jews in the place even to have a synagogue. And the people would gather by the river to pray. And Paul just went and joined himself to them. And started to speak to them about Christ. And it says, and the Lord opened up the heart of Lydia. And she became the first convert in Europe for Paul. For the gospel was Lydia. And from there, that's where the Philippian church started. In such a simple way as that. And then God started to multiply and increase. Friends, God hides himself in simplicity and reveals himself the same.
Amen.
They say it's not the most gifted of people that God uses. It's not the most intelligent of people. It's the vessels that are close to his hand.
Amen.
Close at hand. When he's looking for something to be done, he's just trying to find someone that's willing to yield themselves into his
Amen.
Hand. That's all that he's looking for. And if you and I just submit ourselves, friends, no matter what we do, what we don't do, let him do his work. Let's just yield ourselves to him. And he has promised, the prophet says that. He says Jesus' first commission was go and preach the gospel, cast out devils, pray for the sick. He said his last commission was the same thing. That's the standing orders for us. And he always backs up his word. He's very faithful to that, friends. And we just have to enter in to seek, like I say, like Eliezer, that specific leadership to say, Lord, what should we do? Yeah, it might seem such a simple thing. But friends, it was such a powerful thing. Just a girl coming and drawing water from a well. But it was an answer to prayer. It was a sign that God had ordained these two people to come together at that time, in that place, for a specific purpose. And friends, it was a supernatural something. It was working itself out in the natural. So we'd like to pray once again this evening for God's blessing. For the Lord's blessing upon just the little things that we'll use. For the Lord's leadership, that he'll just guide our footsteps. I don't know if anybody else knows this area. I don't know this area. We don't know this area, but he knows this area. Amen. He sees the souls of all of these people that surround us tonight. Amen. He sees the desire. He sees the burden. And friends, all we can pray is say, Lord, we're making ourselves available to you. We're coming to yield ourselves to you this evening. We just want to be instruments and vessels in your hand. Because when Jesus looked out at the great multitude, he was moved with compassion. Because they were as sheep without a shepherd. And they fainted. They were discouraged. They'd been through so many things. And he was the good shepherd, the seeking shepherd. But when he saw them, he says, you pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. And the prophet says, they were praying to the Lord of the harvest to do his will. But just that act, like we said the other week, of praying about it and seeking the Lord about it, put them in the right spirit to go and do it. Because when you start to seek the Lord about these kind of things, you start to consider the souls of people. You start to consider. Today I was just considering what it would be like to be lost. Imagine if you and I today, if we didn't have Jesus as the great shepherd in our lives. Friends, we just take it for granted. He's so good to us. He leads us. He guides us. He feeds us. He heals us. He does so many things. There's all this flu going around. Yes, such a cold. I was so sick yesterday. I had to force myself to go to work, and I'd been invited to go up to Ballymena to speak with some of the saints that are up there. You know, it was a real good time. And Gitani even said to me when I got home, she says, phone them and tell them you can't come because I was sick. I said, no, you can't do that. I said, I know being about his business is the greatest thing that you can do. And I'd even told the guys at work when I left work, yes, I said, hey guys, I'm not coming in tomorrow. I said, I forced myself today, but I said, I'm not well. But when I went and had fellowship with the saints, it was such a sweet time of fellowship, you forget that you were sick. Amen. And I got home and I thought, where's the cold gone? And then I went to work today and the guys were surprised. They were saying, you said you weren't coming in today. That's well, situations change, you know. Circumstances change. But he's good, saints. He's faithful. And even when we were up there, the last time, the sister there, Sister Donna, she came to visit us. She brought her little child, 4-year-old, and she had such bad emphysema all on her skin. And right at the end of the fellowship, when the fellowship got sweet, she says, please, can't you pray for my girl, Maya? And I went there, yes, and the Lord had completely healed her. Amen. And the little girl was so appreciative of the grace of God. Maya, and I said, the Lord is so faithful in the line of duty. Amen. It might be so simple. That's why testimonies, friends, testimonies are powerful things. To a believer, you'll always have testimonies. If you're just walking in simplicity, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, one thing we need to pray for is the weather, because they forecast terrible weather for tomorrow. It's supposed to rain and be cold and all this sort of stuff, but let's pray. Amen. Let's pray tonight to the master of the wind that he may give us a break in the weather. Amen. That we might go out and be about his business and do his work. And he is faithful to that. Like I said, when he went to Israel and they forecast rain for the whole week, and the believers there in Tel Aviv told us, oh, if we were you, we wouldn't go down to the south by the Dead Sea because there can be flash floods because they forecast so much rain. And then Brother George says, but we'll pray about it. And then Brother Alex, he started laughing. The Russian brother said, and then he saw Brother George was serious. And Brother George said, let's get on our knees and pray. Amen. And we got on our knees and we prayed. And there wasn't a speck of rain. It was hot. Amen. The only time we saw rain was at the end of the week in Jerusalem, because all the Jews were at the Wailing Wall praying for rain, because they needed rain in Jerusalem. It hadn't rained during the winter. It's the only time we saw rain. But friends, it was a powerful testimony, because they were warning people. And then we went, and it was blue sky. And it was so hot. And I said, let's pray tonight for the Lord to have His way. In simplicity, even if all that you do is just give people leaflets about the meetings, even if all that you do is just try to speak to a few people and it seems that nothing much comes from it, don't be disappointed.
Amen.
Friends, He knows how to do His work. He knows there'll be nothing that you do in His name, seeking His blessing, that won't bring forth something.
Amen.
You may not see the results, but like that song says, you know, thank you for giving to the Lord. You know, you might be a Sunday school teacher and you pray and you don't realize that maybe one of those little children is accepting Christ while you're praying. And you get beyond the curtain of time and, you know, you've separated during this life. And you're going to meet people up there and you're not going to realize that it was that simplicity. If you remember the testimony of that man from George Street, who stood on that street in Australia every day giving out tracts. He had promised the Lord to try to speak to at least 10 people a day, because the Lord had saved him from a life of sin. And he gave out so many tracts for so many years, but he never knew of one person which had gone through with the Lord. Until not long before he died, and the people came to visit him and told him of all of the testimonies that people had heard around the world, of people who had received Christ at that time. Because of that man asking them that question, that if you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And so many people had come to the Lord because of that. But that man didn't realize the effect of his testimony. He didn't know that simple seed that he was sowing at that time. He didn't know the results that it was bringing forth. But some people came to the Lord because of that and became great evangelists in the field. Other people came to the Lord and went and led, you know, multitudes of people to Christ. But it all started off, they could trace it back to one simple man who didn't maybe have a great gift to do great things, but he yielded what he had into the hands of the Lord.
Amen.
What is in your hand? Just use whatever it is in your hand, and may the Lord bless it. So let's come to another time of prayer. Saints, let's pray for each of these houses around you. Let's pray for every little leaflet that we put in the doors of people.
Amen.
That the Lord will really quicken it. The prophet says, these tapes shall fall into the hands of the predestinated.
Amen.
He says, I don't know how it's going to be, but that's what he told me. And the prophet will send out the tapes. And friends, they ended up with us.
Amen.
We have them in our homes now. The prophet never knew at that time how far those messages were going to go.
Amen.
But he was just knew that this is God's work. Let's sow the seed and may the Lord do His work.
Amen.
Let's stand once again, friends. Let's sing one more song. Come to a time of prayer. Let's pray for the weather, for the Lord to bless the weather. Let's pray for each and every one who's going to be going out tomorrow, for the hand of or the Lord's protection upon each and every one. Let's pray for strength and wisdom, His leadership, His blessing upon the little things that we're going to use, and that He may glorify Himself, that He may reveal Himself in whatever way that He desires.
Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. He's an answering God.
Ask Brother Vlad if you would pray for us, please, brother, before we go.
Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
We are coming at the end of this service, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Realizing that we are just people, Lord, who can be used into your hands, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, help us that we will just put ourselves aside, O Lord.
Amen.
We will realize that we can be vessel in your hands. That something simple what we can say, that it can bring something wonderful, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, help us to realize that you are God.
Amen.
We are serving mighty God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We are serving to you, O Lord. And Lord, we don't know even these people who live around, O Lord.
Amen.
We want to ask you that you will guide and lead your people, Lord.
Amen.
That you will take those simple tracts, that you will take simple things what we have, O Lord, that you will direct to right people.
Amen,
Lord,
amen, amen.
This place.
Yes, Lord.
That you will bless these people, Lord.
Amen.
We want to ask you, Lord, before even we go, that you will visit those people.
Hallelujah.
That you will touch them in their home, even
yes,
now,
Lord.
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And that
yes,
you will
Lord.
Release
yes,
something
Lord.
Here, O Lord.
Break
in this
fetters
place,
and break bondages, Lord Jesus.
That your
desire.
Glory will be
Father,
Lord,
glory, Father, name,
this
to
place
look and
around
to bring
here,
ourselves
Lord.
Before
O Lord,
and wait upon the Lord.
We believe
even
that
upon
you didn't
day.
Put us here just
yes.
to be here, O Lord.
Amen, Lord.
Lead us and guide us, O Lord.
Please,
that we
Lord.
Will do something.
Yes.
Like prophet, O Lord. We
Amen.
Didn't know even where to go and what to do. O Lord. You lead us and guide us,
Amen.
O Lord. We find ourselves in such a situation that we don't know even what to do, O Lord.
Amen.
But even tomorrow they said that we'll be bad weather, Lord.
Amen.
May something happen, O Lord.
Yes,
whatever
Lord.
Will be, O Lord,
Hallelujah.
That you will do something, O Lord. Just like what Andrew says about
yes,
their testimony
Lord.
When they
Hallelujah.
Went to Israel.
Yes.
They said it will be big rain, whatever it
yes,
is, O Lord.
Lord. Yes,
o Lord, you do something for us
Amen.
Tomorrow. Maybe
yes,
expect
Lord.
That it will be no rain, O Lord. But whatever it will be, O Lord, may
Hallelujah.
It be for your glory.
Yes,
hey,
Lord.
We ask
yes,
in
Lord.
The name of the Lord Jesus
Just
Christ.
Work,
Lord.
Work,
Lead
Lord,
us and guide us
we
way we
us,
didn't
Lord.
Go, O Lord. Like children
yes.
of Israel, O Lord, they didn't go that way, but
Hallelujah.
We did with them, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you that you will be with us, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever we do, whatever we speak, that
Amen.
You will do something, O Lord.
Please,
like
Lord.
That boy, he came with just simple fish and bread. You
Amen.
Broke that bread, O Lord.
Amen.
You fed
yes,
thousand
Lord.
People, Lord.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Have maybe even none of those things, but Lord, we have something. We have,
Amen.
We have your word,
yes.
which is blessed, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's you, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We just commit ourselves into your hands. O Lord, help us forgive our sins, trespasses, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Inspire us, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
Even when we go to sleep to our bed,
yes, Lord.
You speak to us, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
You bring such an inspiration in our hearts, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That whenever we come tomorrow, O Lord, that it will do something.
Yes.
For your glory. We ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Do you pray, sister? Let's sing one while we pray for the little boy. We meet tomorrow 1:30, by the grace of God, saints. May the Lord grant us traveling mercies as we go as well. And then on Sunday, Brother Tom's coming, just normal time for service. Let's pray for that as well. Amen.
The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus, his face the dropping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweet as Lord in seraph song, sweet as name in mortal tongue, sweet as caroling a song. Jesus, blessed Jesus, your many sins are all forgiven. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Go on your way in peace to heaven, and wear a crown of Jesus. Satan's known in Seraph's song. Satan's name on mortal tongue. Satan's carol Jesus, blessed Jesus, all glory to the dying Lamb. I now believe in Jesus. I love the blessed Savior's name. I love the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in Seraph's song. Sweetest name on mortal tongue. Sweetest carol of a song. Jesus, blessed Jesus, and when to that bright world above we rise to be Jesus, we'll sing around the throne of love His name, the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in Seraph's song. Sweetest name in mortal tongue. Sweetest carol of a song. Jesus, blessed Jesus. Sweetest note in Seraph's song. Sweetest name in mortal tongue. Sweetest carol of a song. Jesus, bless.